Today is Wednesday, January 16th, 2008. I'm the Uncle.
And I am Charlie. Thank you, everybody, for joining us today for another fantastic UncleCast. Hey, Uncle, how you doing?
I have to say, I'm doing pretty awesome, Charlie. I was working a lot of overtime last week. It seemed to have chilled out now, so I'm feeling great. And I have a lot of extra money, which, of course, means more wonderful items to purchase.
Oh, that is a fantastic confluence of events there, especially given how many wonderful items are being released these days.
Charlie, you know, oftentimes when I feel like being a collector is playing a permanent game of catch-up. You never reach a point where you feel like you have everything that there is to buy. And this is absolutely true right around now. I mean, there's just so much stuff and so much great product. And really, I shouldn't complain because it's such a wonderful time to be a collector.
Absolutely. It's a good problem to have, you know. And I guess even the interesting thing is, even within the series that we, you know, somewhat limit ourselves to, but between you and I, we really have a fairly large coverage. But yeah, even though, you know, I'm not trying to buy necessarily all of the porcelain busts and all of the Marvel superheroes or the DC releases or anything like that, and still it feels like a really, as you say, kind of a race to even keep up to pace with the news, with the variants, and trying to scour down the stores for even, you know, one or two key pieces that are hard to find.
Absolutely. I mean, just keeping your, I love that phrase, keeping your head above the water, because we're literally going to be drowning in a sea of new amazing product. Definitely from Hasbro, and also Mattel is stepping its efforts up with the latest DC Superheroes line. Unfortunately, I haven't actually seen any of them at retail. I think it's a mega favorite of the scalpers. And there's just, you know, so much stuff going on in the world of toys and pop culture in general that it's like a perfect storm. Oh. And speaking of perfect storms, I want to talk about, it. Some might say in the day and age of the internet, a little bit on the old news, but it's still pretty fresh, the Transformers animated cartoon.
Oh, absolutely.
Have you got a chance to see any episodes of that?
I have. In fact, thanks to, and I don't know how this works, but there's some dude on YouTube who has, like, not only all the Transformers animated, but, like, 100 other episodes of various Transformers shows going all the way back to G1, posted on YouTube in, like, multiple parts. And you know, all the others seem to be removed constantly, but this guy, I don't know, he's got, like, a special deal or something. So I went and watched his stuff. It's good quality. It's well done. It's all split up nicely. So I was able to watch the pilot episode that way since I missed it around Christmas time. And then since, so I saw the pilot episode, got up to speed. It was good stuff. Like, the intro alone, I'm just so proud of them for really sticking to their guns. They got the G1 music. They have the G1 outro, no less, during the credits. Like,
yeah.
Really, really good stuff. And so I saw the pilot movie, and then since then have actually managed to catch episodes. Well, I guess, no, let's see, have there only been two, that have aired so far, correct?
I believe so. I had missed the first one because I was mistakenly under the impression someone by the name of Charlie Parry told me that the new episode was actually a rebroadcasting.
Oh, yeah. Boy, what a lot.
Transforming rollout. So I did not record that one. And then I tried again to record the episode on Saturday, and I don't know, I had issues with my DVR. My parents claim to have not erased it.
Oh, Uncle.
I don't know. I don't know how truthful they are. So I've unfortunately missed the first two. But I look forward to going on YouTube and getting, you know, watching them, because I also like to be caught up to speed with what's going on.
Well, you know, Uncle, I think you're in good company, because I feel that a lot of people, a lot of the target audience of this show was probably people who still live with their parents who may have erased it when they tried to watch it.
You know, I somehow think that the target audience is not, you know, individuals that are 25 years old.
Oh, no, I left that data point out.
Yeah. But all right, so what did you think? I mean, let's talk about Transform and Roll Out, which of course was the three-part, you know, three episodes stuck together. It was around an hour and a half long opening prologue movie. What were your thoughts and feelings about it?
So, like, for one, and I know we've learned this at BotCon, but it's just good to see it in action. I was delighted that the, like, Tasmanian Devil transformation is not the de facto, that it may be used now and then in the interests of, you know, speed or some such in terms of animation or cheapness, who knows what. But I'm glad that they, you know, throw in the detail now and then. I think it's, you know, it's pretty action-packed. The animation is actually pretty good. And I don't watch a lot of, like, kids shows like Teen Titans or whatever these days, but I guess this is kind of the norm. But, you know, there's a lot of full-frame action. You know, a lot of stuff's moving around. It looks pretty detailed. Again, so far I pretty much love the voice work. I love the voice work of our guy Kay. You know?
Absolutely. David Kay, the voice of Optimus Prime, a Parry Game Preserve favorite after his amazingly strong performance in showing at BotCon. What a just terrific guy. And, you know, he totally won me over. Whatever David Kay is in, I will now watch just because I like David Kay that much. That's
absolutely
how big a fan.
Absolutely.
And I think he does a terrific job as a young... it's really, you know, to talk about Optimus Prime for a second, I mean, what can you say about Optimus Prime that hasn't already been said? You know, he is the icon, the marquee character, the defining robot of Transformers. However, I have to say I really find this new spin on Optimus Prime, and David Kay's voice in particular, fascinating.
It's something I never would have imagined taking it in that direction. So while it took a little getting used to, and I think I'm still just kind of learning where they're going with it, I do think it's a bold and probably a very intelligent step to take, because it will ingratiate the character to a new generation of people and allow them to feel a connection with it that, I don't know, maybe the Optimus Prime from the 80s wouldn't quite make that connection with the way kids are being presented with media these days.
Well, just in terms of my own enjoyment of it and being a fan of the property and, you know, knowing my fair share about Transformers, I really like the fact that they put a new spin on it. And instead of Optimus Prime being this amazingly tough, battle-hardened combat veteran, you know, basically in that first prologue prequel movie, you see that he's just in command of this, I don't know, salvage type ship that goes around and repairs space bridges.
Yeah, like a ragtag, you know, guys out on the perimeter of the galaxy there.
So, you know, making the Autobots less, what's it called?
Like valiant, heroic, that sort of thing?
Not heroic, because, I mean, I think even in the prequel, they all acted very heroically.
Oh, okay.
But just less battle-ready and just more like a bunch of, you know, robots that were put together on assignment and had not that much combat training. You know, I thought it was a very interesting touch, and I don't know if you caught the moment where I believe it was Ultra Magnus was pretty much talking down to Optimus Prime.
Absolutely.
And how it was mentioned that he burned out of the Academy.
Yep.
So I really think this is an interesting, fresh spin on the character, and I'm excited to see where they go with it.
Absolutely. I think that's an excellent point. And I remember, this was probably also at BotCon, and we've already seen it play out in the episodes, how versus G1, basically, you know, every day was kind of the same format. The Autobots would fight the Decepticons, and there would be some sort of resolution. And they pointed out that in this show, the Decepticons are actually, at least at the get-go, going to be very rare. You know, they aren't going to be the big antagonists. It's going to be some other element of plot. And so that when the Decepticons actually do show up, it's a major deal. Like, and they're like tremendously more powerful, and as you say, more combat ready and skilled and ruthless than it, at this point it appears this band of Autobots could possibly deal with.
Again, in that three-parter Transform and Roll Out, you saw Starscream, one Decepticon, nearly destroy all of the Autobots, or at least, you know,
right,
the initial crew on Earth. That was like 5 against 1, and Starscream, you know, he did, I would say, pretty well for himself, considering it was 5 against 1, and, you know, a lot of robots got, you know, their tailpipes kicked in by him.
Exactly.
I mean, you could make the point that he successfully killed Optimus Prime had it not been for the AllSpark, which I'm assuming contained the Autobot Matrix of Leadership.
It does seem very much like that, in fact.
So, good job, Starscream. I mean, everyone, you know, on the message boards and, you know, things that I read always joke about how useless G1 Starscream was, with the exception of his, you know, excellent maneuver in the movie. This Starscream is very different. I mean, even when he planted that bomb on Megatron, he almost killed both Megatron and Optimus Prime in the first episode.
Yeah, amazing.
So, I gotta give props to my boy Starscream. He really, you know, stepped his game up.
There's definitely a Starscream fan in the production team there.
and another interesting thing, I don't know if you knew this, I'm just, you know, I'm always fascinated by cartoon voice actors. The voice actor of Starscream is none other than, I don't know the guy's name, but he's the same guy that does SpongeBob SquarePants.
I did know that, and I was astonished. And he really, like, it's not 100% of the time, but I'd say like 70% of the time, he's just channeling Chris Latta. I was really impressed.
Absolutely.
Like,
and
he gets,
you know,
that rasp just right. Like, well, now and then he'll say a line. It's like, wow, that was really just right on.
And, you know, I remember when I first read about this, and there was a lot of Star Bob scream pants jokes on the internet. But I, again, I'm very impressed with his voice work. I think he does an excellent job as Starscream.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, again, David Kay, our good friend Mr. Kay, also supplies the voice of one of my, I would say, favorite characters in the new characters is Bulkhead. And Bulkhead is the olive drab, he almost looks like a, kind of a futuristic troop transport.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, he's just, I think he's terrific. And one slight other thing, I don't know if you realize this, Charlie, but I love the return of unique weapons and abilities for the Autobots.
Oh, good point, yeah.
In the Armada and Energon and Cybertron trilogy, it was just, I'm an Autobot, here's my gun, watch me run and jump and fly and shoot. And everyone did the same thing. And now you have Bulkhead, who can, like, shoot, it looks like wrecking balls attached to chains out of his hands.
Yep, yep.
And then you have Prowl, who's kind of like a ninja, who can,
yep,
like, make holograms and disappear. And
yeah, he has the hologram thing. It's very nice.
He has the throwing star, and even Optimus has that axe, which he uses to climb. And also,
The jet axe is a nice invention, giving it that extra boost.
It really is, and he uses it to pole vault and stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you caught it, but even Bumblebee has some kind of electrical discharge beast thing.
Yes. Yeah, good call. And I also was amused that they're experimenting with partial transformations. At least they did in the first episode I saw, which I guess was episode number 4, where Bumblebee would sometimes, like, stick his arm out in car mode to, like, grab an item or something like that, which was kind of interesting to me.
Yeah, yeah, I thought that was pretty, you know, it was pretty good. And, you know, I have to say, there were a couple of moments where actually, you know, despite myself, there were a couple of jokes that, you know, would seriously go over the head of any 7-year-old that actually made me laugh.
Absolutely.
So, again, that's a feather in the cap of the writing staff that, you know, you made this somewhat jaded 25-year-old laugh out loud in a cartoon. And, you know, I, as long as it doesn't get too goofy and ridiculous, a little bit of humor here and there, it's just what the doctor ordered.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, just before I forget about Bulkhead, and it's something you and I talked about a little while ago, I just wanted to make sure to mention it here. It's something that I'm just kind of assuming because it's too awesome and perfect to let go. As we all know, Peter Cullen, the man, originally did, of course, Optimus and also Ironhide.
Absolutely.
Did both of those voices in the movie and in the G1 cartoon. And I feel very strongly that the Bulkhead character is very much kind of the Ironhide character, but maybe a little less, he's a little less wise, a little less battle-hardened, but he's very much kind of the tank, you know, the tough guy on the team.
Well, I'm going to have to disagree with you.
Oh, you're going
to
say Ratchet, huh?
Yeah, Ratchet is really the battle-hardened veteran who, you know, he's the only one who's presumably seen actual combat with the Decepticons and knows how bad they are. Bulkhead is more just kind of like...
But you know what I'm reaching for here.
No, yeah. In terms of the voice similarities, I can halfway see it, but I think that's merely just coincidental.
It's probably just me reaching and being excited that they got the same voice actor to do Prime and, you know, one of the other kind of similar guys. Yeah, exactly.
Well, either way, I think, you know, Prime's new voice is great, and I also really enjoy the character of Bulkhead. I think he just improves, not improves, but whenever he's around, I'm always interested. And speaking of that, I want to talk about the toy.
Oh, absolutely, Uncle. Absolutely.
The Transformers Animated. I don't know how it happened, but over on Unicron.com, there's a gallery that all of our listeners can go check out with in-package and out-of-package pictures of Transformers Animated Bulkhead. And I presume that a fan spent, I don't know, 20 to 30 times what Bulkhead is going to retail for to have him shipped over to him right now.
Yeah,
and that's
so everybody,
what I would call.
Yeah, everyone should go look at this gallery and appreciate that extra effort.
Yeah, seriously, way to go above and beyond for the fandom, spending like $300 on what's going to retail for a $20 toy.
And we're going to put the link to this gallery in the show notes so everybody can click over to the Uncle Cast page and check out that gallery, check out the link to it.
Now, again, Charlie, I know I'm asking a lot of questions, and I'm going to continue to do so. What are your initial thoughts on this toy?
All right. I think... In general, I'm very impressed with the animated because they nail, somehow, due to like whatever insane manufacturing techniques people have developed these days, they really nail the robot mode and the vehicle mode to look like just like the cartoon. And from what I've seen, like the picture of Bulkhead on the TFW forum some time ago, like doing the pirouette on one toe and stuff, like amazingly well balanced and poseable. It looks like a really solid figure.
I'm going to echo those sentiments, but I'm going to take it a step further. Everyone knows that I love G1, but I have a very fond memory of getting, I believe it was the Dinobot Slag. He was the Triceratops, yes, Charlie?
Yeah.
When I got a hold of Slag and I got him in my grubby little mitts, one of the few G1 Transformers the uncle actually owned when it was appropriate for the uncle to do so. So, you know, back when they were in the stores and I was 7 and not 25 and, you know, rebuying them to try to recapture my youth or whatever. That's a side story. And I snapped the tail off in half.
Oh.
I had him out of the package for maybe 5 minutes, and it was just a crushing moment. I still remember feeling like I had, I don't know, like I had done something to offend God, and this is the way God punished me. And I had destroyed my toy, not even 5 minutes after getting it. Where am I going with this? In terms of the engineering, G1 toys were not made for young children.
True.
Bulkhead is the exact opposite of this design philosophy. He is a little on the chunky side. He's a little bit clunky, but he looks like an absolute brick. He looks like if I hurled him against the wall full force, maybe he'd get a little dinged up, but nothing would break, nothing would snap off. These toys look perfect for younger kids, but also their aesthetics and their design look just like the cartoon, and they really, it just looks like a lot of fun. I see it being very analogous to the recent Sigma 6 line for G.I. Joe, where the scale is a little bit bigger. The details, it's still detailed, but it's not super detailed to the point where, you know, stuff can fall off if you look at it wrong. And I happen to be a real big fan of this toy. I cannot wait for it to come out, and I really look forward to buying it.
Well, I think those are fantastic points. That's a great point you have about the solidity of the figure. I hadn't really even thought about it that way. And I know that you have mentioned this before with the Robot Heroes, and I think this is a fantastic eye to look at these figures with, and it's that sort of skilled eye that will come in so handy in Toy Fair in you know, a month from now, where you can really look at these products and think, you know, are they well designed for a range of reasons? Are they aesthetically pleasing? Do they have a good price point? Are the colors nice? And are they going to work for their intended audience? If the intended audience was, you know, the collector market, okay, you know, maybe it can be fragile, but this intended audience is for the kids who are hopefully watching this show, and with regards to that, yeah, you're right. They hit it out of the park. I think any G1 figure that you threw against the wall would have exploded into a million pieces.
Not just a million pieces, a million sharp shards with metal springs sticking out of it.
Good point.
Now, I'm not trying to bash G1. I love it. I'm just saying if you look at it from the perspective of this is a toy company, mm-hmm. and they want to generate a new breed of Transformers fans, Transformers Animated is the single best way to do it. This is a complete 180 from the way I felt when I initially saw that picture of Optimus Prime, and he looked all super deformed. I was the biggest basher of Animated out of, I don't know, anyone, you know, anyone that I happen to know. But now actually having seen the cartoon in action and getting a better look at what the toys look like out of package, they've got me converted.
Oh, and I remember how vehement you were in your dislike, your hatred of the line. And, you know, I'm still glad that somehow that Sunday morning, the last day of BotCon, I managed to wake us up in the hotel room out of our hungover stupor and actually go down to the Hasbro previews panel so we could actually see a little bit more of what was to come with this series and with the toy line.
Absolutely. And I remember being in that preview room, and it really, you know, I kind of felt like a... someone at some kind of preacher revivalist just being totally out of place because everyone was cheering at what I felt like was anything and everything when I thought the real news was the Classics 2.0, and people saw, you know, that little clip of sequences of Animated set to Metallica's Fuel, and I just thought it looked really silly and childish and stupid. But now that I've seen it in action, I've come around. I really do like Animated, and it looks as though I will buy several, if not a lot, of the products.
Yeah, I mean, I am curious to see how nuts they go with the productization of the show. I assume fairly nuts. So it's just going to be interesting to see. Because, you know, Hasbro certainly put out an insane amount of movie product, as my basement full of Sterilite tubs will attest. But You know, it'll be interesting to see exactly what happens. And, you know, it is a shame that you haven't seen the Dinobot episode. And also interesting is that I guess that's out of order. So they're kind of, you know, and this happens a lot, but they aired a slightly later episode a little earlier with the Dinobot one, for whatever reason. But, you know, there's two things in that episode that I found really interesting. And I don't know if you want me to not give you, and they're really not spoilers, but they're like quotes.
Charlie, I'm unprepared for the Parrot Game Preserve podcast. Therefore, I deserve any punishment in the form of spoilers.
Ah, fantastic. That's a good attitude to have, Uncle. Well, look, they really won't be much of a plot spoiler, but there were two things I really liked. There's only three Dinobots that show up, and Slag, if we are remembering correctly, being the Triceratops. Of course, they did not name him, I believe, in the show. I think they named Grimlock, but the others, they don't remember them giving names to yet. At one point, they're fighting against them because they are starting out as bad guys. And they one of the Autobots has some sort of some sort of bomb for some reason, and chucks it in Slag's mouth, and his cheeks puff out, and then he like settles back down and breathes out smoke, and it looked 100% like a Dodongo from Legend of Zelda, which was awesome.
You know, that's pretty awesome, Charlie. We actually have a special guest today.
Really?
I do, Charlie. I have a special guest coming down into my bat cave, my basement lair, my father.
Fantastic. Hey, well, welcome. Welcome to the Uncle Cast. We're glad to have you.
Thank you. Just call me Alfred. I feel like the butler coming down to the bat cave.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, well, you know that I don't know if the uncle has told you about this, whether our plans in February of this great event that we're hoping to cover.
Yeah, he sounds pretty excited about it. Have they come to fruition, or are they still pending?
Well, I'll tell you, they've halfway come to fruition. I've got my media credentials validated, but we have yet to send in any registration material for the other half of this partnership.
Okay.
Yeah, I have to put together some kind of package showing my editorial contributions to Charlie's website. Mm-hmm. So that's probably going to take place either tomorrow or on Friday, but that will definitely be in soon.
Well, and I
You're
was told
for hyperbole at times. I would imagine that you'll be able to do that with do dispatch and get it done pretty quickly.
I'm fairly confident in my abilities to to sell myself to the wonderful people at Toy Fair.
Oh, with great aplomb. I'm sure it will go very well. And interestingly, I heard a little story that, in fact, you have wanted to go to this show for most of your life due to a promotional brochure that your father gave you when you were very young, which really set the course of things to come.
Charlie, that's absolutely right. I remember having a promotional brochure that my father gave me, and just to put a date with it, on the back of the brochure was an advertisement done up all Star Wars opening style with like 266 days left until the biggest marketing fad to come over to the U.S. ever was going to take place. This was an ad for Pokemon.
Oh, boy.
So the original generation, this must have been around 1996, probably like 11 years ago, and I remember just going over the licensee booklet and just looking at it fascinated. And I don't know, maybe it says something about myself. I never actually thought of attending until you really planted the seed and said, why don't we just go?
Yeah, well, that was the thing, because I suddenly, and I don't know, maybe it's one of those ideas that really just has to strike you, and then it becomes easy once you've actually sat down and thought about it. Because, of course, you've lived near it, you know, your whole life, basically. But
yeah, basically, it's been around an hour away from my house for my entire natural life.
Yes, every year since receiving that brochure, correct.
Yeah.
But as you said, there was no real, there wasn't really a context in which to participate in it, and as such, you never really felt that, I don't know, it didn't occur to you. And I think that's a valid excuse in this instance, because it just kind of, you know, I run this site, and it didn't really occur to me until just one day it suddenly popped in there, and then it all became, and then it suddenly became clear, or everything became clear, to quote Emmett Brown in Back to the Future 3.
Absolutely. Why don't you relay that wonderful anecdote about your friend the shop owner and his experience at Toy Fair back in the 80s?
Oh, man. This would be My good friend Tim at Comics for Collectors, he said that he, in fact, used to go to Toy Fair in the late 80s, which I was very excited to hear, both because he went to Toy Fair during the greatest decade, which is always exciting news, but also because I figured, well, hey, maybe he can give us a little inside information, kind of prepare us for what it's going to be like. And, you know, he really, you know, you could see it kind of dredging up the memories, and he was thinking, he was getting all excited, thinking like, wow, yeah, it's just this amazing event, and you walk in, and it's all overwhelming. And it's just people everywhere and products, and they just start giving you stuff for free. And at this point, of course, my ears perk right up. Like, what? Really?
Free stuff?
Yeah. And he's saying, you know, they give you pamphlets, and if you say you're a reviewer, you're a product review site, they'll give, you know, maybe you can get some free samples. And the real trick is to get into like the company showrooms, and they take like field trips around the city to the corporate offices. And I don't. He was going off. It was really something.
You know what? We need to get on those field trips.
We need to start you know, sending some emails. That's what we need.
Well,
to
actually,
do.
Yeah. I actually need an admittance badge. I think I'm getting ahead of myself.
And a little hard to put there.
Once I gain entry, then I really, wow. I didn't even. But then again, that would make sense. That, you know, if you were a what I would consider a mover and the shaker in the eyes of the vendors of the products, they would really want to show off to you and you know, make a good presentation and take you to their corporate offices.
Yeah, yeah,
and maybe show you upcoming product, because, you know, again, they want you to spend your money on their items.
Absolutely. Like, I have to imagine that the TFW 2005 guys and the Rebel Scum / Cool Toy Review guys, and I've been reading their site a lot lately, because they're madmen. I don't know how they do it. Have you checked out cooltoyreview.com recently at all? Like,
you know, I don't think I have. You're going to have to link me. What's that website again? Let's give them a plug.
Yeah, cooltoyreview.com. And these, it's just two guys, it seems like, from the credits on their postings. They post like 10, 15 a day. They're like a total media outlet. Like, these guys, I don't know, if they've got a different job, I'm really impressed, because it seems like they've managed to make this their full-time gig, and they really do it full-time. And they put up 10 or 15 galleries of toys a day sometimes. And really, you know, lots of obscure stuff, like the Cult Classics line. They just put up like the John McClane. And,
oh,
like,
yeah, the Cult Classics. They're done by NECA, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah,
they're big Mezco and NECA guys. They have all the McFarlane stuff. They've got all kinds of like the really boutique statues. And I think, you know, much like us at the Preserve, they actually buy all this stuff, and then they have a nicer photograph area set up. And I think, much like myself, they even do it all by hand instead of using a database program, because each of the pages has a unique name. And they just grind all this content out. And it's really fun to check it out and to see all this new stuff they're putting up. They're doing a great job. And they covered Toy Fair last year, actually, and they're going again this year. So, you know, I'm thinking a site that big, and they've got a really nice G.I. Joe 25th section, and they get a lot of early news. So they've definitely got some industry ties, and, you know, or at least one hopes, that they can parlay those industry ties into some product that they don't have to just keep dumping money towards to review online.
You know, Charlie, I just went to the page right now as you were chatting, and it looks very professional. It looks almost very similar to the design layout of Rebel Scum.
Yes, they're the same guys.
So, okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
The same guys, yeah. Well, hey, guys, good website.
Yeah, absolutely.
Man, those Sideshow dolls are great. Just to throw that out there, they really got some great sculptors.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Yep, they just put those up, right?
Oh, man, and look at those new diamond busts.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The diamond power boost. Wow.
Yep, the three cars, right?
Yeah. Now, how expensive are they? That is the question.
I think about $69, something like that.
Oh, wonderful. Only $70.
Yeah, yeah, times three.
What a steal! Oh yeah, that's right. You need all three of them, because you wouldn't only want to have one. That would be lame.
Oh yeah, that doesn't have. That can't work.
Oh, and it looks like their arms are in different. Can you move the arms, or are they actually sculpted different?
I was wondering that too. You know, I think they're probably stationary, but it does have a great look of motion and kind of dynamicism to it.
You know, I actually might pick up Smokescreen.
Yeah, well, see? Now, look how effective their website was, and that is why...
That's why they're going to... They're definitely in the Toy Fair.
And this is why the job that we all do is so vital to the manufacturers.
I spent 5 seconds on their website, and right now I'm ready to spend $200 on
See? No amount of commercial advertising can have that sort of return.
Absolutely not. Oh man, those really look great. I really do want that smoke screen.
There you go. Well, maybe
Great.
we'll try to put a link up to those guys in the show notes too.
Excellent.
So yeah, it'd be fun if maybe we'll run into those guys. Who knows? We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, and maybe we'll have a couple drinks with them and hang out with them. They seem
Now
like
that
people.
would be the best idea. See, and this uncle is where you come in terms of the schmoozing, the socializing, the face man sort of qualities that only living in Long Island can bring.
Oh man, if only that were true, Charlie. If only that were true. I'm just looking to not get apprehended by the long arm of the law when we go to Toy Fair.
Well,
If I
just
could get away.
as long as you get a badge for really real, I think you're probably 9/10 of the way away from a jail sentence.
Oh, that's great. Wow. So, Charlie, why don't we switch gears a little bit and go into that intermission?
That sounds like a great idea, Uncle. So everybody, we're going to take a little break, and we will be right back. Hey everybody, welcome back. Another fantastic intermission under our belts. So now, Uncle, I know we were talking at the beginning of this UncleCast about the amazing amount of product that is planned for this year, and I guess what really astonishes me is the amazing amount of product we already started to see. And really, if anybody goes on the preserve and looks at just the last week, you'll see a tremendous amount of stuff that has already been discovered on the store shelves, which is a really exciting way to start out, given that we're only about 2 weeks into the new year. And in particular, one of the lines that is supposed to be coming out soon and is a very exciting part of 2008 from the Hasbro release schedule are the Indiana Jones figures. And I know that you and I are both very excited about this, and I know that you and I also both are planning the same sort of boycott schedule wherein, much like your take on Star Wars, even though you're fully off that now, just sticking to the classic figures and not the kind of new movie figures. But
Absolutely. I mean, I've really, again, I voiced this opinion here previously. Maybe I'm wrong. I hope for my sake that I am wrong, but everything leads me to believe that this new Indiana Jones is going to be very similar to the new Star Wars prequels in and of the fact it will be absolutely horrid.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
With that being said, I'm going to completely ignore any of the new action figures and just focus on the classic ones, which, of course, we never got in the first place, which is a huge oversight. So I feel this is the way of the universe writing itself.
Oh, absolutely. Well,
the fact that we're finally getting Indiana Jones action figures, you know, for the second time in, what is it, 20 years? 25 years?
Yeah, and, you know, I sure wish I had the first wave from Kenner back in the 99-cent discount bin at KB in 1989, since they're now worth $150 a piece and totally unattainable.
As do I. I mean, that Desert Convoy truck with the Ark of the Covenant,
yeah.
Oh, man, that thing looked awesome.
And like I always say with prices on toys, it's not that I wish I had them so I could sell them. I just wish I had them because now I can't afford to buy them.
Yeah, right. It's too expensive to own now, so you wish you had it so you could actually enjoy it.
Yeah, so I could put up a nice gallery on the preserve, you know? But I think, okay, so entertainmentearth.com, another good site that the preserve enjoys, also has already put up the pre-orders for the figures, and it's pretty cool because you can go and check out the regular series figures as well as the whatever they call adventure heroes or like the little mini figures as well that are coming out.
It's basically the superhero squad, basically for
the robot heroes for Indiana
robot
Jones.
Heroes. Same exact, yeah.
So you can see wave one of both of those, which is really cool, along with like the Gentle Giant busts of Indy riding the horse and Indy with the whip, which are two of the first two busts coming out, the porcelain sculptures, rather. I guess on the horse isn't a bust.
Now, wait a minute. What Charlie just said, there is an asterisk to that. You do not see the entire first wave. I believe there are three mystery figures in that first wave that they still have not announced.
This is true.
You will see a majority of the first wave posted on entertainmentearth.com. And it's great to look at if you still haven't seen it, because the figures, with the exception of Bow-Legged Indiana Jones with the whip, all look excellent. I can't wait to get all. I'll even get Bow-Legged Indiana
Jones.
Oh, yeah. What am I kidding?
You got it. And of course, there's a mail-away. And, you know, God bless Hasbro for bringing back the mail-away, as I ranted about today with the Doc figure. Just how great. It's just, it really brings back the old tingly feeling, and how fantastic to have a mail-away offer.
Again, Charlie, I really wish you had an opportunity to open up just one of those 25th anniversary comic book packs. Were you able to?
You know what? I bought, because I was tired of waiting for you a week ago. A week ago, I bought the Duke and Cobra Commander one and opened that, and it was just a blast. I had so much fun with it. I spent like 45 minutes just really taking my time, like checking out the figures and the accessories and reading the comic. It's just such a great package.
But just in terms, did you see the special message from Cobra Commander?
Oh, dude, the mail-away offer. Yeah, and your voice was ringing in my head as I read it with excitement, like, Charlie, you'll love this. And I was like, oh, God, you're so right. It was a joy, an absolute joy.
I mean, again, it's the little touches like that, especially with the 25th anniversary line, that just home run, absolute grand slam. Congratulations, whoever did the product design. And just came up, you could tell they were an absolute fan. Because only a true fan would even think of doing, instead of like, here's the order form, let's make a message from Cobra Commander where he taunts about like how he captured Doc, and you'll never be able to rescue him. Ha 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 ha.
Uh-huh.
And let's actually typewrite that. Because that's something that Cobra Commander from the G.I. Joe cartoon would have actually done, which is, it's like I got my own private message from Cobra Commander. I felt like I was five again. What a great thing.
And I
would just like to let the commander know right here and now, I am rescuing Doc, and there's nothing you can do. I'm going to prevail, just like the Joe team would. I'm not going to give up when the chips are down, and I'm going to rescue Doc.
Awesome.
Your mind control scheme is going to be defeated, ultimately defeated.
That is awesome, Uncle. Nice job. I'm very proud of you.
Happy that I'm on board. Remember, Charlie, when the 25th anniversary line first came out, I didn't really buy into it. It was only after your repeated proddings and
my constant badgering
and constant badgering and twisting my arm that I really got into it. And now, you know, I really like that product. I'm waiting with bated breath for the second wave of comic book packs, which you got to show up in my neck of the woods, because I really want to buy them and open them up.
Well, that's what friends are for, Uncle. That's what friends are for.
Absolutely.
Now, this reminds me of one quick thing, which is kind of insidious. Of course, you need 6 stickers to rescue Doc. And, you know, here I am. I've got all the first wave and the second wave, and it's still only 5 comics. So, like, they probably know very well that the really twitchy collectors like myself are going to go out there and buy, six of the Scarlet Hawk packs and just be done with it. And then buy all the rest too. So, but it's like, oh, dude, it's like you have a recipe that calls for, a cup of something, and the can's only like 3/4 of a cup. And it's like, oh, great, now I've got to buy 2 cans.
So, exactly. Like, let me buy 3 cans of Campbell's tomato soup instead of just one, because that's what the recipe calls for.
Precisely. And so it's just hilarious to me. I'm like, oh, man, even when I open up all these comic packs, I'm still one short. And so I really should just go to the store, suck it up, buy a spare. But, hey. So anyway, I'm predicting that a whole lot of loose figures and comics from this series start showing up on eBay because everybody's doing exactly that.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised either. And I also would like to say, I think the third wave, isn't there a Troop Builder comic pack, Charlie?
I think, isn't there a Crimson Guard one? Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, there's like a Crimson Guard, and I think he might come with a Trooper.
Oh, really? Now, is that what you were telling me, Uncle? You said if I see any Crimson Guards, to buy them, because there actually is still a Crimson Guard from Wave 5 sitting on the pegs at my local Target.
You're talking about a comic book pack?
No, just a single. Just a single Crimson Guard who's in Wave 5.
Oh, I see what you mean. I'm sorry. Maybe I must be getting confused. I thought there was a Crimson Guard that was going to be in a comic 2-pack.
I think there is as well. I think there's the figure from Wave 5 and also a Crimson Guard in the comic book 2-pack. So I want to unfuzzy which, if you think both are going to sell highly, I was kind of surprised that the Crimson Guard solo figure was still hanging around.
I'm actually surprised, too, because, Crimson Guard happens to be one of my favorite Cobra Troopers. Oh, well, I can't imagine that anyone is any different that's really into G.I. Joe in that regard. I'm amazed he's still on the shelf, to be honest.
Well, you're in luck, Uncle, because I bought two. One's going to be on its way to you soon.
Oh, thank you so much. Wow.
No problem. But
because my whole plan was to just, in order to make up the doubles, like I'm definitely buying the two ones that you bought today, which of course are the two Dreadnoughts, Torch and Ripper and Destro and Breaker, I think that
yes,
is.
Yes, absolutely,
which
got
would
it.
Bring my total to 4, and then I figure I can buy 2 of the one with the Crimson Guard in it to bring me up to 6, and I can rescue Doc.
That's a good call. That's a good call, because that one, I'm reluctant to buy multiples of a pack that hasn't a real named character, because then I've got all the spares and whatnot. But yeah, if it's soldiers, hey, it's time, maybe I'll engage in a little troop building, which I don't usually do, and that's a good way to get those extra stickers.
Absolutely, and that would just be another reason why I think that Troop Builder comic pack is going to go through the roof, because other people who want to rescue Doc will go for that one above, say, a second Duke Cobra Commander.
That's a really good call.
Yeah, so just keep your eyes peeled for that, everyone. If you like the 25th anniversary, even if you don't, keep your eyes peeled for Wave 2. Wave 1 was mostly, I think all of it was repaints, with the exception of Hawk, who had a new sculpted head and used the Snake Eyes / Stalker body. Wave 2 is where they really knocked it out of the park. I cannot wait to get my hands on these figures. They look supremely awesome.
They really,
and everyone
they really
looks
are.
Good as well.
And I've got to get a few better pictures up online. I just kind of took some stuff because I wanted to get it posted as quickly as possible. But yeah, the detail of the figs is great. And Breaker comes with the bubble gum bubble. It's just awesome.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect. It's the little touches like that that make me so happy that I am involved in collecting the line, and that they can even do that.
As you said earlier, just, congratulations to the people who are behind this series, and it would be great somehow to get connected with them and just, for one, just let them know how excited we are about it, and hopefully they're getting that from reading the internet and whatnot. But yeah, it would be really cool to see who's responsible for this and just know, be able to say, hey guys, thank you so much. You're doing a great job. It's great that there's still people so passionate about their jobs and so interested in this franchise and in actually making a decent product for the people who want to see it on the shelves.
Yeah, again, I really, let's find out who that brand manager is, and I can't wait to meet him and shake his hand at, when we both go to Toy Fair.
That's right.
He's doing a terrific job with this 25th anniversary, and absolutely everything about it, the packaging, the backs of the figures, the artwork, the weaponry, even the articulation, which I initially balked at, has been improved, and that shows that they're open to changing, and that they are, in fact, receptive to and listening to the fans. And that's all I really ever ask for.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And, now I realize that because of our love of G.I. Joe, it combated against our theme of Indiana Jones. So maybe just quickly, let's pull it back to Indy just for a minute. Because there's an interesting thing to discuss in the Indiana Jones universe, at least the product universe of 2008, which is while we're waiting for those figures to come out from Hasbro, which I guess might be around April or May. Does that sound about right?
Yeah. I would say late April, early May to coincide with the release of the movie. But then again, you never know. Maybe they do a Midnight Madness for Indiana Jones figures like they did with Star Wars.
Yeah. And so, but while we're waiting for that, which is at least 2 months, 3 months away, Lego has done a really, really great job of providing us with what can be seen as kind of a, you know, the inaugural, the first, the kind of a gate-warming product.
I would say the appetizer for the onslaught of Indiana Jones product about to dump on both of our heads.
There you go. Exactly. And nothing beats a $115 appetizer.
Especially when it's made by Lego.
That's right.
And, you know, I've always, ever since I was a very young child, been a strong admirer of Lego. And they always deliver. And these Indiana Jones sets, I unfortunately do not own any of them. But just today, I saw the Well of Souls and the $60, I don't know what it's called.
The Temple Escape.
The Temple Escape. And what terrific sets. I really wanted to buy the Temple Escape, but I had just previously spent, I just want to throw this out there, $50 on the Arkham Asylum Batman Lego set. And why that's notable is because it normally retails for $80. So any of you people that are near a Toys R Us, definitely check the Lego aisle. You may be able to catch the Arkham Asylum set, which looks phenomenal. Of course, I didn't build it. I just bought it today. It'll probably sit in my room next to the giant Lego Batmobile I have, but I'm so happy that I got it. And my friend Dan actually has it. I've seen it out of the package. It's supremely awesome. It comes with all different cells. There's even a thing, like, there's a room with the guards where they can, like, strap in the Riddler and, like, I don't know. There's, like, a gurney and everything, and
awesome.
There's, like, spotlights, and it's wonderful. For the Batman fan in me, it's everything that I need. And so, again, the Lego products are always great. They always deliver. I know the only one that you've opened up is the Indiana Jones Sean Connery motorcycle chase, and even that one, just that looks awesome as well. I really want to buy that.
I mean, yeah, you get three figures, like, you know, two vehicles, really, even though they're small. Like, just the play value of that I found to be really high, and it's a simple set.
and there's, like, a little gate, isn't there, that they can crash through?
Yep, there's a movable gate, and it even stays up by itself. I have a little picture on the preserve of the gate up, and they're actually going through, like, playing nice with the German officer, you know? And yeah, so it's a great set.
So I would say to all of our fans that go to the website every day, which, of course, only the true fans know to do, because there's always new postings and new reviews and stuff, keep your eyes peeled for the new product reviews coming down the pipe with Indiana Jones Legos, because I know Charlie's been itching to open those up.
Absolutely. We're going to post all four. We're going to build out that section, so there's a full complement of this product line from Lego, and you can go see your very own Dr. Henry Jones Lego figure, which is perhaps the greatest thing ever.
Yeah. You know, who would have ever thought that we would live to see the day, Charlie, when Sean Connery himself got his own Lego minifigure.
It is just a glorious day. It really is. Now, Uncle, you're a Lego fan, and you know more about the releases than I have in recent years, even though I have a huge old Lego collection. The Chase asked me an interesting question today, which was, do you suppose there are any Lego figures that have, like, red swim trunks or something of that effect? Like, you know, like a beach series where they have a red swimsuit on.
Any you know, I'm going to try and keep this PG-13 because I always feel that maybe there's younger kids listening to our podcast.
Yeah.
So actually, I do remember there being not exactly a beach theme, but, you know, like a beach, you know, like beach with surfboards and like yellow sand pieces and palm trees. And the way they got away with it actually was, do you know the little T crossbar?
Yeah.
Charlie, that would actually be colored black, and the physical legs would be colored that distinctive bright Lego yellow.
Wow.
As if to give off the appearance they were wearing, what is it, like a Speedo?
Oh,
but it
wow,
more came
no way.
Off as a thong. So,
wow.
So not exactly, you mean like shorts almost?
Well, I'll tell you why he asked, because in the Chase's continuing pursuit of all that is Zardoz, he realized that if he could find a Lego figure wearing some sort of red, you know, skimpy outfit, that he could then make his very own Sean Connery in Zardoz action figure. of Lego.
You know, the Chase, he really is a unique individual. I think if he bought one of the slave Leias, slave Leia with the new pink flesh tone, you would be able to use that piece for legs, and the torso, you would kind of need a pink torso, too.
Yeah.
I don't know where you'd be able to get one of those, you know, a totally pink, unclothed, topless torso. And the pink upper arms, I imagine you could get from that Leia as well, and then you could have your own very own Lego man from Zardoz, Sean Connery from Zardoz.
That's brilliant, Uncle. Nice job. Nice kit bash.
And I think the only person on the planet Earth that would enjoy that is the Chase. Kudos to him.
That's right. God bless him and his enjoyments.
Right, and his insane quest.
That's right. So, well, okay, so there, everybody, listeners at home, is our many and varied discussion of these fantastic new four sets that have come out from LEGO featuring Indiana Jones and a bunch of characters from the film, including your very own Alfred Molina LEGO character now.
And I just want to throw this out here. I'm supremely happy because this is not the first Alfred Molina LEGO minifigure. The first one was actually released when Spider-Man 2 came out.
Uh-huh,
and
of course.
All sorts of Dr. Octopus.
Very
so if
nice.
You're so inclined, you could make your own mini-army of Alfred Molina.
What an absurd troop-building quest. I love it.
You know, it's like, oh, I collect knights, I collect pirates, I collect Alfred Molina Lego minifigures. Which one is cooler to you, Charlie?
I think I'd go with door number C on that one, Uncle.
Absolutely. And that's why we do the podcast, Charlie.
You got it. You got it, man. So there you go. That was your big find at Toys R Us, and that's a good tip for all of our listeners. If you're looking for some Batman Lego, definitely go down to Toys R Us. Apparently, they're blowing them out.
Yeah, they blow out prices. And again, you know, that it makes me feel kind of bad because, you know, it's great to get toys at a steal, but when you see, like, a line that I loved so much, like the Batman Legos, and you see them going for so cheap, you know, the financial voice goes off in the back of my head and says, doesn't look good for the future of the Batman Lego line.
Yeah, I
and
understand.
that's another example of what I would feel is an unfair, representation of an absolutely phenomenal product. I do not understand why more comic book type people would not jump all over this line in huge numbers. And aside from that, I don't understand why the kids. I don't mean kids, like, you're not giving a 7- or 8-year-old Legos, and if you are, the more basic sets. But, like, the 11-, 12-year-old kids aren't buying these up like hotcakes. I mean, they're so cool.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, it is really, it's kind of depressing when I think about it, so.
Yeah, it's too bad. I don't have an explanation, but you know what? There's going to be a gigantic Lego booth at Toy Fair. I found it on the floor plan today, so.
Oh, we got to go.
Oh,
we,
you know it.
Absolutely, yeah.
And just to whet your appetite, Uncle, it's, about... let's say half a block away from the NECA, next to Square Enix and Mezco.
Wow. So we're just going to do the whole circuit. That would be great.
It's going to be nuts.
That'll be great. You know, real quick, speaking of Square Enix, I was in an import shop a couple of months ago in Manhattan because I like going into Manhattan and looking at the real designer toys that are like, you know, the cheapest one in there is $100. And I saw this thing, I guess it was licensed by Square Enix, called a potion. And of course, Charlie, the potion is a traditional standby from Final Fantasy. And it was this, like, I kid you not, this ornately glass-blown bottle with the stopper in the top.
No
and
way.
Blue liquid, and it was like $80, and apparently you could drink it.
Oh, you could?
Yeah, it was like a drinkable type.
It's like opium.
I didn't even know what the hell was in this potion, but I looked at it, and I was like, wait a minute, is this a giant waste of money, or is this the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life?
It really is hard to tell.
You know, it was really, and it was so hard, I was just like, you know what, I can't spend $70 for blue Gatorade in a glass container.
But the fact that
they would actually license the product in such an unorthodox way was, you know, very shocking for me. But part of me did think it was cool.
Yeah, but thank you for doing the research and bringing it to our listeners.
Yeah, so again, Square Enix, Google the potion. I hope you don't get anything pornographic when you do so. I apologize if you do, but it is a real product that I've seen with my own eyes. I'm not making this up.
All right. We all believe you, Uncle. We'll check it out. Maybe I'll put something in the show notes.
Great.
All right, man. Well, what do you think? Say we should wrap it up for this week?
Absolutely. I think we talked about a lot of good topics, and we covered all our bases.
Awesome. All right, everybody. Well, thank you for joining us. And a parting shot here, G.I. Joe 25th. Everybody who sees Wave 5 in the stores, notice that the shipwreck figure now has a blank belt buckle instead of the anchor belt buckle. It's a new variant. And if you're interested in shipwreck variants like the anchor and the shark, you got to pick it up.
Absolutely.
All right, everyone. Well, hey, Uncle, fantastic talking to you today. And we'll just see what madness we can get into in the next 2 weeks to bring to our listeners next time.
Great talking to you, Charlie.
All right, everybody. Take it easy, and Uncle, talk to you later.
Bye.